From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudet. This is Idaho Matters. Next year's session of the Idaho legislature will look very different from this last year's. This after November's election replaced almost half of the 105 legislators at the Idaho State House. That could make for a very dynamic legislative session at a time when lawmakers will be looking at a variety of issues that will impact all Idahoans. Boise State Public Radio news reporter James Dawson covers Idaho politics for us, and he's joining us now. Jimmy, it's always good to have you on the show.
Hey, happy Monday, Gemma.
So, Jimmy, the legislature doesn't go into session until January. However, there's what's called the organizational session, which happened last week. So what is that, and what do they do during that?
Yeah, so the organizational session is this thing required by law every 2 years after each general election, and it's basically when the legislators who won their respective elections are sworn in, we've got new leaders elected, committees are set, and maybe most importantly for the lawmakers themselves, they get to choose their own seats, and office space is based on seniority. So, senators, this is kind of inside baseball, but senators all have their own private offices because there are, you know, half as many of them compared to the House, but representatives basically only get offices if they're committee chairs or have been around a long time. Otherwise, they get a cubicle.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes. So, you can imagine, competition for those office spaces in the House is pretty fierce.
I bet it is. Holy cow. Okay. So, Jimmy, why so many new lawmakers? I mean, and what, because not everyone lost their seats.
Correct. Yeah. So we just went through redistricting. That means that we had new legislative maps that were drawn that changed kind of the boundaries of, who would represent what district. And some incumbents, found themselves facing off against, people who sat just a few seats away from them, maybe in the House and Senate chambers. So we did have those incumbent on incumbent matches. That, obviously would take out one of them. On top of that, you had a lot of retirements. And when you add all that up, like you mentioned at the beginning, you get nearly half of the 105 seats held by new people or some who jumped from the House to the Senate.
So, Jimmy, this is something, I mean, every once in a while you see where there is a lot of a turnover like this. But it is fairly unusual, right?
Sometimes. So with this redistricting, obviously you get some folks who, don't want to be in the legislature anymore for whatever reason. Maybe they feel like they've accomplished all that they've wanted to, or they, it's not something that they prioritize as much. Maybe they want to spend more time with family, or, I've heard and talked to people who say, well, I just didn't really want to go up against my friend over there who got redistricted into this one where I live too. It's a whole combination of things.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Okay, so let's talk leadership, because what changes will we see come January when it comes to lawmakers in charge?
Pretty much all of that is coming from the House side. You have former Speaker Scott Bedke. He's the new, Lieutenant Governor-elect. He'll be sworn in January. And there was a whole lot of shuffling there. So I'm going to throw a lot of names out there, so apologies in advance, but we've got former Majority Leader Mike Moyle. He's taking over as Speaker of the House. He faced off against former Assistant Leader Jason Monks. Megan Blanksma is taking over as Majority Leader now. Couple new faces to leadership under her as well. You've got Sage Dixon, who chaired last session's ethics investigations into Aaron Von Ellinger and Priscilla Giddings. He'll be the new Assistant Majority Leader. And then Dustin Manwaring will serve as the new Republican House Caucus Chair. So in the Senate, all Republican leaders stayed the same, despite challenges from the right. The Democratic side looks a little bit different. You've got Boise Democrat Melissa Wintrow taking over as the new Senate Minority Leader and James Ruckte as her assistant.
Oh, okay. So, James, you mentioned the new Speaker of the House. Tell us a little bit about the new Speaker and the position itself.
Yeah, so Mike Moyle, he's a Republican from Star, been around a very long time in the House. People kind of know him as maybe a little bit rowdy, a little bit. He likes to you know, he doesn't back away from a fight, I guess is what you might say. So as far as the Speaker of the House role, he kind of organizes pretty much everything. You know, he assigns bills when they come out of a committee to specific committees. If he maybe doesn't like a bill, he'll assign it to a special committee called the House Ways and Means Committee, where it essentially sits until he decides that it should move forward. And yeah, he kind of like is kind of the broker between factions on like, okay, well, if a certain subset of lawmakers don't want to vote for a certain thing that he wants to pass, you know, he'll try to broker deals or, you know, force them to vote for it by maybe giving them some concessions, you know, in some other way. But a whole lot of organizational responsibility is laid at his feet now.
So, Jimmy, I want to talk about some of these new lawmakers because they are on the more conservative side. So does that make a difference in the legislature, which, I mean, is already heavily GOP dominated, but it's almost like there's this other faction of the GOP?
Definitely. Yeah, this is going to make a big difference. And I think your question brings up a good point in that I think a lot of casual legislative watchers or people who, for whatever reason, aren't paying attention to the legislature may think that, oh, we've got, you know, 80+% Republicans in both chambers. That means that there's got to be like, you know, some Hakuna Matata moments, right? But right. It's not really all that harmonious. So the far right wing in the House only had enough sway to kind of sideline a few budget bills here and there over the past few years and get some stuff passed through the House over to the Senate. But the Senate blocked it. But those numbers have grown, not to mention we've got several new seats for the far right in the Senate, which had largely blocked a lot of those top issues, thinking mask mandates, vaccine mandate bans, anti-trans legislation, the whole, you know, librarians and obscene materials legislation, and committee chairs who had previously blocked those bills aren't around anymore. So conceivably, we're going to, you know, see a whole lot more of that.
And, well, and Jimmy, I mean, there is still this other faction that is not as conservative as you just talked about some of these new members. So, I mean, could we continue to see some infighting within the Republican Party? I mean, we saw that, I think, in particular over these last two sessions.
Yes. Yeah, I fully expect to see that and a whole lot more votes that, you know, might have a pretty slim margin of approval or disapproval, right? So, you know, yeah, I fully expect to see a lot of infighting there.
So what about the fact that when we have so many new lawmakers, when this happens, and this has nothing to do with politics, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, it's just when you have so many freshman lawmakers, does it make for sometimes a more wonky session? And I guess what I mean by that, Jimmy, is you're learning the ropes, right? You're learning the rules. You're learning how to be a legislator. I mean, how does that just impact the session?
I think that's exactly right. I mean, there's going to be a new learning curve for a whole lot of them. You know, the legislative process can be very complicated at times. It's not always intuitive. And that's especially true if you're just maybe learning for the first time how the state budgets or, you know, you're mm-hmm. digging into administrative rules. But I guess that doesn't mean that... I don't think the freshman class will really stand on the sidelines legislatively. You know, I think that they're going to try to push that more conservative legislation, which they, you know, ran on pretty heavily. What's going to be interesting to me is how the new committee chairs will choose to handle that, since they have such wide latitude to mm-hmm. introduce or reject bills.
You know, I had a conversation once with a former lawmaker, Joe Stegner, and he said to me one time, he said, you know, people think being a legislator is easy. And he said, when you get in there and you have to vote yes or no, he goes, that's what people forget about, is that's actually the difficult part, because many times it's not that black or white, but you have to vote yes or no. There's no, well, maybe.
Right. Yeah. There's no maybe. The only alternative is for you to, what we kind of call taking a walk, where you get up and you physically are outside of the chamber and you can't vote. You know, sometimes I know in my past legislative coverage in Delaware, for example, that was a not infrequent move that people would make. But yeah, you're totally right in that they've got that, not to mention they've got to handle, you know, hundreds of constituent calls and emails, I would imagine, and trying to fit all of that into 24 hours is challenging.
So what are you watching? What will you be watching most closely this next session, Jimmy?
I just really want to see how drastically the Senate might change. You know, even with several new and far more conservative members coming in, what surprised me is the makeup of leadership didn't change. Now, does that mean that, you know, Senate Pro Tem Chuck Winder and Majority Leader Kelly Anthon made some concessions to keep their seats, or did they kind of keep them at bay and sort of, you know, wrangle some more votes from the more moderate Republicans? I don't know how much influence are those new far right members going to have. You know, these are all just a whole lot of questions that, you know, we don't have answers to at this point.
So what about issues or laws, Jimmy, that are most likely to impact, you know, just our day-to-day lives? Because I think sometimes, you know, there's so much minutia that the legislature has to get through, that doesn't necessarily feel like it impacts you as a citizen, but then there are other things that really could.
Totally. Yeah. So I think for the broadest amount of people, I expect there to be more tax cuts, maybe another rebate check. You know, you've had Governor Brad Little promising that for the past few months. Obviously, education, we have $410 million that wasn't there before to spend. And whether or not, you know, is that going to be coming in the form of school vouchers? Is it going to be coming in the form of, you know, just additional funding to K through 12 schools? I don't know. We'll see if anything actually gets done with property taxes. We have two new, you know, chairs for the respective committees there who might bring some new ideas. But also, I think, you know, your question depends on who you are, because I wouldn't be surprised if someone brought back a bill criminalizing healthcare for trans kids under 18, and that issue, you know, significantly affects the kids themselves and their families. So, yeah, it depends on who you are, but certainly taxing issues are going to come up. You know, income and property taxes, as well as education, expect a fight on that.
And when does the session officially start?
Oh boy, January 9th is when, you know, they all come back into session. And that is also Governor Brad Little's State of the State address after getting inaugurated on January 6th.
All right. Well, we know where you're going to be starting January 9th. So
I'll be in the windowless basement.
Yes, you will. And we'll be checking in with you. Hey, Jimmy, as always, really appreciate your reporting in particular on what you do with the legislature.
Thanks, Gemma.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Experiencing the news each day can feel like a journey. With Up First from NPR, it doesn't have to be. Welcome to 15 easy minutes of breaking news, clarity on international and national affairs, all handed over not from some floating voice in the sky, from us, Layla, A, Steve, and me, Rachel. Start your day informed. Subscribe to Up First wherever you get your podcasts.